Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are mainly a Paul McCartney solo podcast talking about all things Macca. This is episode number 243. My name is Andy Nichols, and I'm one of the co-hosts of Two Legs. And joining me today is the other co-host and co-founder of Two Legs, and that is Mr. Tom Hunyadi. Good evening, Tom.
Good evening, Mr. Nichols. Good to see you, as always.
And we've been busy, man.
We've been busy for a minute. Yeah. You know, we're anticipating something maybe happening soon. You never know. We got a little free time. So going live a couple times over the last week, which is, a little rare lately. But like I said, we're going to try to incorporate that a little bit more. But it's good to be back. And how are you?
I'm doing well. And things are heating up, you know, in official McCartney world. In not-so-official McCartney world, which is the topic of today's show, but before we get to that, we're going to go over the news and kick up some things over to Tom. He had an update for us. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, well, just a couple deaths just to report in the Beatles world or Beatles connection world. I mean, one being John Sinclair, as we know, was immortalized by John Lennon in the song John Sinclair. He died of heart failure at 82. Here in Michigan, and we all know that what he was given, exactly as the song goes, he was given 10 years for two joints, and then in, was it 71, 72, they did the little show here in Michigan,
Arbor.
I think the following year in 72, he was released, and only serving, I think, 3 or 4 years of the initial 10, so that happened. So rest in peace, John. Also rest in peace to Jerry Conway. Now that might not sound familiar, but he was the drummer on the McGear album and very close to joining Wings. He died of Lou Gehrig's disease at 76. Now he played, like I said, he played drums on the McGear album, but not all of it, because we do know for the track Leave It, we know Denny Sywell was the drummer for that track. So rest in peace, Jerry. And two more connections to the solo Beatles, or Beatles, however you want to say it. That group just keeps shrinking and shrinking, it seems, every year.
That's why these books that we read, these official books, are become more important as time wears on, because right. And that's why it's so great that they're written and researched well, because as you mentioned, people are passing on, and that's going to be the recorded word, history, whether it's Lewison, Perazzi, Cozen, Sinclair. These are the books, so we're all not going to be here forever. So these books will be. So
that's correct.
What else is cooking?
That's it, really. Unfortunately, like we said, we're kind of patiently waiting. I mean, it's almost, it'll be 4 years this December since the last McCartney record. So we're hoping for something. We know he's been recording with Andrew Watt or Watts. And we're hoping for something soon. But today's episode, you love this stuff. I mean, you, my cousin David, you guys are big boot fans. And we're going to get into a little bit.
We're working on you. I think you're getting it. Yeah. You're starting to get it, but you're not there yet.
A little bit. I mean, it is an area that I need to concentrate more on. There's some really, really good stuff out there. Really good stuff out there.
And that's what we're hearing now. And to our earlier point with people passing, that's going to kind of tie us into today's show.
And you know what? Before you get there, I'm really surprised that I never got more into the boots, because my very first bootleg was the Black Album. And if people don't know what the Black Album is, that is one of the bootlegs surrounding the January 69, the Let It Be / Get Back sessions. And man, what a bootleg that is. There's some fantastic stuff.
I had assumed when we met that you just automatically were a bootleg guy. So when you weren't, it threw me off for a little bit. I'm like, he's not into all these bootlegs and stuff. I just assumed everybody who's a rabid McCartney fan would be.
And right. gravitated towards that. Yeah, I mean, I just always been like an official guy. I've always felt like in the back of my mind, it's like, oh, I'm kind of, I feel like I'm stealing or something, you know. But
thanks a lot.
Yeah, you know, a little conscience, you know, there for you. But yeah, no, I listen. Slowly getting more stuff, you know, Cold Cuts, you know, the Return to Pepperland bootleg, you know. So I'm definitely interested in that Press to Play one, because that we were talking about, and you'll show that in a second. There's, I mean, listen, that stuff, the trio of McCartney, Jerry Murata, and why am I dropping on his name, the 10cc guy,
Eric Stewart.
Thank you, Eric Stewart, that recorded all of those songs. I love that stuff, because that you can get on YouTube.
You can.
Right.
And there's been tons of labels that have done bootlegs over the years. Tons of labels.
Right.
And we're going to get, and we did a show on boots, but this one's going to be about, today our show is going to be about more recent stuff in the McCartney world of bootlegs. And in the wake of the underdubbed release of Band on the Run, which was in February.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We got, you know, some recent releases that have come out, or one's out and one's not out yet. But this all stems from the estate of Jeff Emmerich. Okay, so Jeff Emmerich, who passed away a couple of years ago, has had, you know, a collection of acetates and reels and tapes in his possession, and the family put them on, you know, for sale, and they recently got sold. And I'm going to share my screen now just so you can see.
Yeah, well, before we get to that real quick, I mean, how do you feel about that? And how do you think McCartney may have felt about that? Do you think maybe these are tapes that maybe should have been given back to McCartney?
Maybe, but Paul had the chance, as I said to a friend of mine, Paul knew they were going for auction. He could have had any of his people snap them up in 2 seconds.
Okay. All right. True.
Which leads me to believe, is Paul getting to the age where he doesn't even care anymore, maybe?
Mm.
Maybe 20 years ago, he would have.
Possibly.
So, I mean, he did that with the record with the Quarrymen, with the In Spite of All the Danger.
Yes. Right, right.
You know, Duff Lowe, who recently passed away, had the record for 20 years, and Paul made him an offer, and he got the record back.
Mm.
So maybe he wasn't in touch with Jeff's estate. Or Jeff's estate wasn't, you know, oh, hey, we have some stuff here. Do you want it? I mean, either way, if Paul wanted it, I'm sure he could have gotten his hands on it, and the material's gotten out there. So let's just, let me share the screen.
All right, so what do you got?
And show you the first. This is from the official auction site, okay?
All right.
This was lot 284. Can you see it? There you can.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Yep.
This is Omega Auctions. It was dated the 10th of October, 2023, the Beatles collection. McCartney, Wings, Interest, Band on the Run, recording tapes with Bolan recording. Two reels, quarter-inch recording tape, each with 10.5 diameter marked by pen, one with their catalog numbers containing recordings of Wings performing tracks from Band on the Run. In original card mailer with a handwritten note, Dear George, track two. Side one is 2 dB too loud on this cut, slight distortion, meaning Dear George, probably Dear George Martin, we would think. And here's your tracks. Tape one, Lagos, 1 30-minute pristine studio quality, a complete Jeff Emmerich tape recording of the recordings made in September of 73 from the 3rd to the 14th at EMI in Lagos, Nigeria, with count-in talks before tracks without overdubs done in October. Later in October at Air in London. Mamounia, spelled wrong. Band on the Run Part 1 and 2, Hell on Wheels, Vanderbilt, Let Me Roll It, Tape 2, Drink to Me, Picasso's Last Words, and a Mark Bolan vocal. And they even had a little sample of the tape that you could listen to on YouTube. And it's there, you see, it's sold for £11,500. Wow.
Wow.
So it sold recently, and now, it's gotten out there. It's gotten out there in the form of two bootleg companies. Now, the first one, for you Beatle bootleg collectors, Paul bootleg collectors, you'll all be familiar with the Mr. Claudel label. And Mr. Claudel has been a very comprehensive, thorough label of boots, of which I have several. Tug of War, all these three CD, they're very thorough with the track listing. Press to Play, as Tom just mentioned, which I'm sure he likes. They're always very thorough. Pipes Apiece, 3 CD, Flaming Pie, and they just, and then I also have an Off the Ground one.
Right. Now, is there sets for every album for the most part?
For the most part. Label? For the most part. Not all of them, but most. So I'm going to flash up here, and here is the most recent one. Okay. McCartney Recording Vault, Underdubbed Volume 1 with Wings. Now, this looks kind of like, is it just Band on the Run, or is it, but it's not. See, it's C73-79 on the side here. Right. So it's not just the Band on the Run material, and we're going to go over that. And this one has leaked out. First, this is the track listing that's on this one. Now, it's kind of confusing because I think, Tom, you thought it was just all the Band on the Run stuff, right?
Well, maybe, because, I mean, we've been in contact with other people, and I think I downloaded the wrong thing. I think I downloaded what somebody else sent us.
Okay.
I'm not going to say names or anything.
No,
like that.
No. But yeah. But same
so
format.
I got,
go ahead.
Yeah. So I did get a Band on the Run thing, but Jet was also included. So it was something completely different. So, but that's right, because there was only seven.
Should be
tracks
eight.
Recorded. Yeah, I know that, but there's two Hell on Wheels. But so I'm saying there should be only seven tracks recorded in Lagos.
Mm-hmm.
So that's true. I guess that would be correct there for a minute.
It will. But so this is a little different because it's not as thorough. When you look at the Mr. Claudel boots, they're pretty thorough in terms of what versions they are, or what's different about them, or what is the mix, how is it different. This one's a little more vague here. You know, right. you've got disc one,
yeah,
with
the seven tracks.
Bat,
right off the bat, you don't have Picasso's Last Words on there. And no. that was recorded in Lagos.
Right.
Okay. And then you let me see here. So
well, it was, see? Right there. September of 73. Where? It's there.
Yeah, but that's different. Wait, where?
Look. Different studio.
Okay, go ahead.
Different studio.
Yes, I see it. I see it now. Now I see it, yes. I see what you're saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's there. And then, obviously, yeah. October of 73 is what became what we got with the underdubbed release of Band on the Run. So this October 73, that's probably a workup of all that stuff. But for me, the crown jewel of some of this stuff is what you see on discs 2 and 3, which is Band on the Run material and also later Wings material, you know, from Girls' School, Mull of Kintyre. Now, my complaint with this one is that they're not labeled that great. So we don't know what's unique about them, right? They're just labeled Mull of Kintyre 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they're all right. Very different. And I've listened to just about all of this so far since I got it. There's some really great stuff on these second and third discs. It's what I've listened to the most, but they're not as broken down. And I'm going to show you guys something, you know, and I'll show another screen in a little bit, but I'm going to get to another point here that I also saw online, is that somebody feels that some of these mixes on disc 2 and 3 of this Mr. Claudel set of Recording Vault Underdubbed number 1 were done using AI, which I don't, if that's okay. True, I don't have a problem with that.
Why not?
Because it's separating things out that we would not otherwise hear otherwise. And if AI was used to do that, more power AI. I can hear, you know, and I know you haven't had a chance to hear this yet, but there are some, I mean, there's a version of Mull of Kintyre on here that you hear harmonies that you can't even hear on any other version. Lower harmonies sung. It might be Mull of Kintyre 4 or 5. And I said, I wish this was a little bit more detailed like the other Mr. Claudel titles were, to give you some kind of an idea, but they're not. So same thing that goes for one of the versions of London Town on here. You can hear just Denny by himself singing the lower verses, like the verses, but in a lower tone. That's just okay. Buried. And if AI was used to get that, fine. I'm fine because I'm hearing it one way that I never have before. I don't know if it's true or not, but this is just one. You know, you've got another version of With a Little Luck on here. Some great versions of Silly Love Songs that you can just hear just Paul on the piano, you know, things really, really underdubbed that we have not heard before at all, or I haven't.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I am looking forward to hearing Some of that because of the fact that, I mean, that was one of the really shitty things about the Speed of Sound box set, right? Hardly anything from the recording sessions,
Nothing.
if anything.
Like these three rough mixes of Silly Love Songs. Like one doesn't have the horns. One just has pull. Like those, throw those. That's what should have been on Speed of Sound, you know? So this is out there now, and it's really enjoyable. Now coming out this. Go
But
ahead.
here, but question then. But then the second, the October of 73 disc. I mean, now is that what we got for the underdubbed this February?
Yes. As I
Okay.
understand it, now it may not be the same as that quality, but this is the stuff that became the basis. We're looking at tape one here, on
Right.
disc one. That became the basis for what we got officially with the underdubbed. Now I don't know. See, we're not privy to these conversations, but maybe Paul, I had read and heard that Paul had issued the underdubbed because he knew that boots were in the pipeline anyway. And he wanted to stay ahead of the bootlegs getting out from the Emmerich estate, so he issued this, which makes sense.
Okay.
Which makes sense. It's crazy the amount of prices people will pay for some of these things, and I'm not going to get into any of that on the show. But people bootleg the bootleggers, and the bootleggers bootleg the bootlegs.
Right.
Now, at the same time, there's another release by another bootleg label. You guys have seen this, the TMOQ Gazette, otherwise known as
Yes.
HMC. These guys have been in the game for a long time too, and they've got a Band on the Run rarities set coming out. Here you'll find rarities, outtakes, rehearsals, tracks from the Jeff Emmerich tapes, and more. All so these guys have been at it too. Now on this bootleg, you've got obviously, instrumental versions of all the other stuff, but some sound effects from the sessions, the jail noises, laughter, a French
Right.
broadcaster, party noises, and you've got a little red star indicating that this came from the Jeff Emmerich tapes. So anything with the star, according to HMC, comes from Jeff Emmerich. Mamounia, Man on the Run, Hell on Wheels, Vanderbilt, Let Me Roll It, No Words, Drink to Me, and then these kind of sound effects and stuff like that. So I have not heard this one yet myself. But I'll be interested to hear it. I mean, I know some of our fans have, and if you read those forums, I mean, there are some people that have really kind of just gone, they're very thorough. They've listened to them all. They know them. Those of you that check out the forums, one of them being a former co-host, Mr. David Gargolino. He's always on them, and when times like this, it's nice to jump on there and see these things because there's people that on there that are in the know or really can't say much, but they are, but they hide behind another name and they tell you basically what the breakdown is. And one of those guys, I'm sure you've all seen him before on these forums, is Mike Carrera, and he already has a breakdown. He has a breakdown between the HMC versus Mr. Claudel label and which is better so far. And I will kind of show you a few of those breakdown. He just posted it today. I mean, and this is the nuances we share that we like to read about. Let's see. Now I don't know if that's viewable or not, but I'll try to just. Can you read it at all or not really?
No, I can't read it, but I mean, if you can go, I mean, obviously you're the one controlling it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'll if I can zoom in, maybe I'll zoom in. Hold on, and I can always edit this a little bit too. Hold on. I'm gonna keep zooming in here. Let me know when you can see it.
Getting there, closer. Almost there. Okay.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Like easier to see now?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a post from Mike on the Bootleg Forum, and he has done a breakdown of both. So let me just scroll back to here we go. What's clear is doing a back-to-back or an A-B comparison of the same materials from the two different labels is that both are used a different source. For the ones thinking that the Mr. Claudel release will become obsolete, think twice as the most complete Lagos tape is not with HMC. This quick review was made using the original releases by each label. See, originally people thought that the HMC would be the go-to one. But now Mike, who is just an awesome insider, and God bless him, because he always gives us tips on what's coming out and when. He says, HMC uses a copy of the tape made, choosing where to start. Mr. Claudel used a different dub of this tape, perhaps a direct copy of the Emmerich tape. There are no fade-ins or outs between songs or abrupt cold ends like with HMC, as this tape seems to continue track after track and is the longest. And then he kind of goes through each track. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Mamounia. So on HMC, it's 454. On Mr. Claudel, it's 456. You know, so this is really kind of really grainy detail, like big time detail stuff. But when, if you're a diehard collector of bootlegs and you want to hear all these different nuances, this is the stuff you have to read. I mean, he's got timestamps in here. At 452, HMC tape abruptly cuts off after Paul says something like, "Ep," on while on MC. While on the Mr. Claudel, the tape doesn't cut and the hiss noise continues three more seconds. This is really, really in-depth breakdown stuff. Somebody who has a lot more time than I do to do this stuff, or you, but it's all in here. Differences between Ben on the Run, the times, what's different here. HMC ends abruptly at 512 during Paul's ahs, while on Mr. Claudel we hear the complete ah, and you can still hear two extra bass notes and the nose of the tape until the end. So this is really deep dive stuff to listen to and dissect, but I think a lot of McCartney fans are. They're into it.
Right. Interesting.
It's a whole other world of, like, I mean, there's a guy that just went through and did a breakdown of both new bootlegs that are out there and telling you what's available. And I think it's so coveted is because it's Band on the Run. We don't have a lot from Band on the Run, as we know.
No, right. Yeah, and obviously we would love to hear that those initial sessions with Denny and Henry. As Henry would say that he thinks those versions are the far superior versions, but I don't think we'll ever hear those.
We won't, but it's interesting to look at, and as time moves on with bootlegs, if people pass on, things like this, estate sales will happen, things will trickle out, and how much of a wall gets put up by MPL and Paul to stop these things from getting out there, you know? Clearly, there's people that want, you know, we as fans want every little thing. We want to snap our fingers up and have everything, whether it's the 1963 copyright dump from the Beatles or anything like this. And I think it's frustrating because we know how much Paul has in the vaults, too.
Mm. True. So what we have then right now, what's the show, the CD set that you have right now? The Band on the Run.
So it's this one right here.
Yeah. Okay, that's what you have right now. So you've got. I mean, like, go show the track listing again, please.
Yeah.
You're looking at Mamounia number. You know, take this. I guess that's take one. Or Band on the Run.
Well, we don't know, and that's what some of the people on the forum said is, like, they're not. They're just labeled Mamounia one, Band on the Run one, okay. Hell on Wheels number one, take two, Hell on Wheels number two, take three. It's a little vague, you know.
Okay. Right.
It's a little vague, but. Go ahead. Yeah,
so because I'm curious, because we were given a no words from someone. I'm kind of curious if that September 73 is then the same version then of the what we were given.
Well, that version that we heard was about a 7 minute. It was about a 7 minute version of no words, and.
No, and then this one will, I think, was cut down in like 4 minutes or something. Then
4:17. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So then, no, it wouldn't have been. I mean, it could have been taken from that initial, because it was just a jam.
Right.
And then cut down.
That went on and on and on and on and on.
Right.
Right. So there are a lot of good things on here. I just wish it was a little more thorough. But I mean, I have friends of mine who have heard this already, and they're like, this is on par for being one of the best McCartney bootlegs ever. Like, they put it up there with The Last Flight.
Okay. Well, then, I mean, they don't have to be necessarily thorough on the back there, but, I mean, is there a booklet where it can be more thorough?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
I'm sure there is. Mm. But, I mean, this is, you know, we're not promoting the sale of bootlegs at all, because, you know, that's just not, that's not what we're doing. The stuff's out there. So, you know, it's the internet. You can find these things. But we, you know, and people have said, oh, well, you know, people spent a lot of time and money on these things, and, you know, let the person recoup some of their funds before it just gets out there. But one, you know, that's not going to happen. Once something like that is out there, it's going to be available.
Right.
It's a, whether it's a touchy subject.
Whether it's physical or digital, it'll still be out there.
It's going to be out there. It's going to be out there for sure. I think we're better off having it than not having it, this, some of this stuff, because we wouldn't have heard it otherwise. I think you're going to enjoy hearing some of this stuff, like, you know, and it's basically what Paul was doing with the Underdog Band on the Run, but better, I think. And you hear some of these other tracks, you hear Jet differently. There's that Good Night Tonight number one. That's incredible. It's like 7 minutes, and it's just a rough. It's a rough mix. His vocal, it's a scratch vocal. It sounds great. Same thing with London Town.
Okay, all right, never mind. I'm thinking of the other one, but yeah, this is. I mean, but the thing is why weren't those, like, the rough mixes of the Band on the Run stuff put on with the other stuff, you know what I mean, with the disc one, unless they just ran out of time, you know what
well,
I mean?
Well, man, you got 18 tracks just here on disc one.
Yeah.
So yeah, they might have, I mean, why not, yeah, why just put, why scatter the Band on the Run material across the other two discs is what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, why don't you just, then just, I mean, because there's there's Oriental Nightfish stuff out there that they could have added on here. You know, obviously you've got plenty of Hell and Wheels on. You could have just made this a two disc set and then just kept it
just Band on the Run, and then make another release of later Wing stuff.
Right.
Fair enough. But maybe they wanted to do it as the Emmerich thing. And because that's, and you got a picture down here of Paul, Jeff Emmerich. And I want to say that looks like John Jacobs, the engineer that Paul used in the '80s and into the '90s. Sometimes I think that's John Jacobs. Obviously, Paul, Linder, and Denny here. Another gem that I heard on this too. Tom, I'm sure you've heard it. The original demo of With a Little Luck with Paul, with just the backing track, the drum machine. Have you heard that?
No. I'm really looking forward to listening.
So that there's a version of With a Little Luck that I've had in my collection for decades, right? It's just Paul and a drum machine for 6 minutes. Just a drum machine and his bass. Doing the demo, and it's been an okay quality on this set. The quality of that demo is like, it's the clearest thing I've ever heard. So you know this really came from the estate, because it's not a bootleg. This was the real tape, and the quality of that With a Little Luck demo, which I've had again for decades in muddied quality, now sounds pristine clear, like it was made today. So that's the differences with some of this, the quality of this source material coming from the Emmerich estate. So I think you're gonna, once you dive in with this stuff, brother, you can find yourself very quickly down a rabbit hole, and I think you really like it. I think you will.
Fair enough.
You know, and I'm very curious to our fans out there who might have heard this, some of this stuff, or haven't. What's your take on some of this stuff and boots in general? You know, it's pretty hot. It's a pretty hot topic. I've seen it on multiple Hoffman Forum, Beatleg. It's getting a lot of steam on there. And I think we're better for it. And if AI has helped us, especially in the case of Mr. Claudel, for the separation of vocals on stuff like Mull of Kintyre, then I think more power to you.
Well, I mean, AI is still, you know, I mean, it's very controversial. I mean, there's been controversy over the fact that AI was used on some of these recent Blu-ray releases of Jane Cameron's films, True Lies, Aliens, and The Abyss. Obviously, you know, AI, you know, there's been strikes in Hollywood over AI and the use of that. But I mean, if we weren't, I guess if AI, if they're using AI to separate it, and then they're kind of like then. You know, lifting things that weren't initially supposed to be lifted in the first place. You know what I mean? So if they're, like you said, the backing vocals or stuff like that, they're separating everything, kind of like what Peter Jackson did for the Red and Blue, right? I mean, obviously, I think some people had problems with that. Maybe some people didn't have problems with that. But for these, you shouldn't need AI, I don't think, for stuff that's been, well, they're probably on 8 tracks, right? the Band on the Run sessions. So you shouldn't have had to have needed AI to separate this stuff, I don't think.
Well, think about it. Tapes that are 50 years old, you know, you might have to.
Okay. Yeah. See, I mean, this is a world that I'm still relatively, you know, new at. So I really don't know the right questions to ask for this stuff to begin with. But I'm glad I'm ready to learn about this stuff. So
I think you should, because it really at the end of the day is we're hearing the music that we've always loved in a different way. I mean, I was driving the other day listening to some of this stuff and I'm like, I've heard Mull of Kintyre 50 times. I've never heard that vocal because it's buried, you know, things like that. All these guys going, well, like it's like the harmonies, but it's like lower. Same thing with London Town. I mean, these are songs we can recite in our sleep, and to hear it in a new way, that's pretty important in 2024. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, it's a bootleg. I don't condone the sale of bootlegs. I'm not giving my money to the bootleggers. The stuff's out there. Okay. It is what it is. But we as fans are richer because we have this stuff, because it's what we want.
I get that. Yeah, I get that. I definitely get it. I mean, I just question the use of AI in general. That's all I'm doing is, I mean, because you, again, if you're doing something with it, like the American albums, right? The American Beatles, that's not how they intended it, those records to be heard, you know? So then AI, you bring in AI in to utilize that technology to make us hear things that we weren't supposed to hear to begin with, I guess, you know,
there are pros and cons to thinking about what you've said. That is fair. Like, you know, did Paul really want us to deconstruct these tracks track by track to hear everything? Probably not. But I mean, these are stems. Like, look at the Beatles Rock Band stems that came out, you know, when Rock Band came out in 2009. People went gaga about that. You know, to be able to take those tracks and mix them the way you want. I mean, and that was the Beatles stuff, because people could do that.
And I know McCartney's had on his own website, right? The mixing where you can mix a song, you can fade stuff in, fade stuff out. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I can understand that, too. So,
If that was being done with the Beatles material, you know, 13, 14 years ago, you know what's going to happen, you know, now with some of his own. That was 2009 when Rock Band came. Those stems came out. Here it's 2024. It's 15 years later. So, of course, they're going to, if the technology's improved to hear some of this material, I say more power to you. Let's hear it in a new way. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's like, but other times it's great. And if it can be used to enhance the music, great. I just think what we all want is to hear these things unvarnished, like what's really in the vaults, and let's get it out there because we know it's there. Like, let's hear that demo of Daytime, Nighttime Suffering without anything touching it. Let's just hear that. That's what we want. You know?
Well, I mean, the stuff that I would really want is like how Paul was talked about. Like, if he would go, like, maybe I'm amazed. You're sitting there, he's just at the piano and the vocals, and that's it. Like, that's stuff that I want to hear. And then the next week he'll overdub the bass, right? Then he'll overdub the drums, you know, stuff like that. I don't want to hear the track and then just have something faded up or fading down. If I want to hear track one and track two, which is the piano and the vocals, then I just want that. I mean, I don't want like the whole track and then just someone fading down the vocals.
Right. You want the stem. So like kind of deconstructing the classics like we just did with Alan Cozen. Maybe I'm Amazed across eight tracks in your iTunes library or on your computer, you'd have Maybe I'm Amazed, right? Piano. Right. Bass, vocal, and you can go through it and listen to those eight tracks individually. And that's what you could do with the Beatles Rock Band stems. You could just hear with a little help of my friend's piano or whatever. And I think that's kind of what you're saying, what you'd rather have with a McCartney song, right?
Right, right.
I mean, I haven't seen too much of that yet available, but I mean, who knows what's coming out.
That's one of the great things that I love about the Lennon stuff.
Oh.
You know, getting all those different, you know, the isolated tracks and stuff like that. That's,
and the elements, know, the progression of the song from a demo to the elements to this to that. Well, they have set the standard with how to show you the genesis and the evolution of a song on these box sets, right?
Right. I mean, what they did with, you know, what's just for with the Plastic Ono Band and the evolution of I Don't Want to Be a Soldier. No, I'm sorry, Imagine. I Don't Want to Be a Soldier. I mean, look at the transformation that that had from Take to Take. I mean, that track, I mean, I really, although it was realized, I mean, there was different what's the word I'm looking for? Arrangements from Take to Take. So that's the kind of stuff that I like to hear.
Yeah, and it's so frustrating because McCartney has such a treasure trove of all this stuff, and all we get is like a couple of kernels on a box set, like to your earlier point of Speed of Sound. Like this stuff on this new set could have been on there. Let's hear three versions of Silly Loves Tongues without the brass or just the single track vocal.
What was the album that he's helped him and George Stopp from having released in the mid 80s?
The Sessions bootleg.
The Sessions bootleg, yeah.
Which was that had a catalog number and everything. It was ready to go.
Yeah. Right. And saying, you know, what would they, you know, they only wanted the best stuff released, right? The finished product is what is the only thing that we were supposed to hear, right? Everything else is scraping the bottom of the barrel. So,
which I'll never believe that's the case. Maybe with the Beatles, but not with Paul Solo.
Yeah. So yeah, listen. I mean, look. This is something that I really should start paying more attention to. These bootlegs and you know, hearing these earlier takes and stuff like that. So I'm definitely going to make it a purpose to start checking this stuff out.
I think it's good because I think you'll get a new appreciation for it and be like, oh my god, I never noticed that before, or that sounds so cool. It's a new way to hear a song that you know backwards and forwards, and you can get a new appreciation for some of this material. And a lot of it we owe to the Emmerich Estate and the people that, you know, that made that happen to get it out there. I mean, you know, there's a really funky, great take of Girl School, which I believe is the one on disc three, which is totally loose and different. I think it's Girl School take two. Totally different vibe. Things like that we never heard before. And there's no AI with that. Like, that was just sitting in the guy's vaults. You know what I'm saying? Some of this other stuff, you know, right. Junior's Farm, the Ernie Winfrey mix, I've that's been out there for a while. A couple of these different 1985s, you know, just as good as the ones on the underdubbed, if not better. So I'm very curious, those of you out there that have acquired these in however manner you have, what are your thoughts on these boots that are out there, if you've got both of them? I think they're a worthy addition to any McCartney collection live, you know, of music, because it's new stuff. And let us know in the comments if you've gotten them and what more you want to see come out, or what else do you hear about coming out in the pipeline? Because there's a lot more people in the know than us out there about this stuff. And all of a sudden, it'll be out there. So that's it. Check it out there.
I don't expect anybody telling us what else is coming.
You never know.
If they did know. So, I mean, obviously, I mean, there's got to be some kind of a little bit of hush-hush to these releases too, don't you think?
Of course. And again, we're waiting on an announcement of some kind of Paul's. So by the time this drops, it may have already been out there. It may not. We'll see. You know, we're doing something a little bit different for this one. We are dropping it on Saturday, the first Saturday of the month, because this is a little bit of a newer hotbed topic in the McCartney kind of collecting community, of especially of bootlegs. So we normally don't drop a show the first Saturday, but we did drop this one the first Saturday of the month. So don't know if that's going to change, because we're not going to do anything the second week of the month. The second weekend of the month, we got to see how our schedules jive with that. Right. Maybe we'll take that weekend off since we dropped one instead. We shall see. That Tom's got a busy plate, and he's got a lot of driving to do, don't you, partner?
Yeah, another cross-country trip coming up real soon. Yes.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
Okay. Anything else in the pipeline there, Mr. Hunyadi, before we close it out?
We did Talk More Talk again. We did the first half of the Rob Sheffield 100 solo Beatles list. And look, we had a lot of requests to do the show, and you know, obviously it's his opinion. We know that. We're just giving our thoughts and opinions on the songs and the choices that he made for his list. And, you know, we love talking about the music anyway, so no big deal.
It's what you guys do well, man, for over almost over 5 years running now, right?
Yeah, 2018.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. We started with a review of Egypt Station.
All those years ago.
That's what we'll do part two in, you know, 2 weeks. And we've got other plans as well.
Yep. And we do with Two Legs too. We will have Chip and Mark will join us again at some point. They were going to join us for this episode, but they were not available to do this tonight. So we will have them on later in the spring or early summer. And that show is we're going to kind of do a show about, you know, the 82, 83, 84 period of Paul, basically working with George Martin, Tug of War, Pipes of Peace, and culminating with Broad Street. And We All Stand Together, kind of coming out of the end of that. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that with Chip and Mark probably in about 2 months' time. And they'll hop on for that one at a later date. We are almost at 2,000 subs. We're at 1.95. So please, please make more Google accounts and just get us to that. Get us across that threshold, will you, please? Please do that. And but we are available everywhere else. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Two Legs Podcast. Please check us out on all those platforms as well. It's also available on any audio platform for podcasting as well, if you like the audio end of the show. So that's going to do it for 243. For my partner, Thomas Hunyadi, I am Andy Nichols, and we will see you next time on Two Legs. Peace out.
Take care.
You've been listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan.